Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, the name says it all. If you're really rocking with us, make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can get alerted of all our great content right away. Let's go to our guests. Now, our guests, we guys gave you a quick hint in the intro who he is. Outstanding individual. Let's break it down. Product of Pahokee High School, Florida State University, where he won a national championship. One of the greatest wide receivers to play for the Arizona Cardinals. He also won a championship with the Baltimore Ravens. 3-time Pro Bowl player. 2015 Walter Payton Man of the Year. He wasn't just balling on the football field, but he was also balling in the communities as well. Anquan Boldin is joining us here. All Things Covered. Pat P, Bryant McFadden, QB, man. Thank you for joining us. How you feeling?
I'm good, bro. What's poppin'?
Man, listen. Hey, before we get a jumping in our conversation, man, he got a backdrop is heavy, Pat P. He got some legends back there, bro. You see him?
I see him.
Q, fill us in on some of the jerseys, man. I see Rice. That's the ultimate GOAT right there. But who else you got in the backdrop?
You got to have Rice back there. I got like Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, Ray Lewis, Warren Moon, Eric Dickerson.
Oh, man.
I mean, I got a squad back there. E. Reed. Eric Reed.
No question. He got some legends, man. I hope everyone is watching us on YouTube, but if you're not watching us on YouTube, make sure you go chime in so you can see some of the legendary players he got in his backdrop. But let's take it back to the beginning. You know what I mean? Let's go back to your roots in Pahokee, Florida. Now, a couple of months ago, we had Fred Taylor on. You know what I mean? He gave us a breakdown of that area, but he went to the rival, Glades Central. What did it mean to get a win over Glades back in the annual Muck Bowl when you participated for Pahokee High School?
Yeah, man, that's a huge rivalry. I think anybody who grew up in Florida, you know about the Muck Bowl. I mean, it's a game you dream about playing in as a young boy, you know what I'm saying, playing sandlot football coming up in that area. So, you know, getting that win or getting a win at any time in the Muck Bowl is definitely big.
Yeah, right? And also, too, the stadium is named after you. It's Anquan Boldin Stadium, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you were Mr. Football in 1998. Your senior year, you beat Glades Central 34-14. And you boys, y'all was undefeated.
Yeah, both teams were undefeated. We were number one.
They were two. Oh, yeah. Okay. Because you won state your senior year?
No, we actually lost state, so we went 14-1.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, we were number one. They were number two. They should have been a shutout, to be honest. They scored. I left the game for a series. So my backup quarterback threw a pick six. And then we were up 34-7 in the fourth quarter, and we just took all our starters out, and they scored another touchdown. So, honestly, it should have been 34-0, but, you know.
Yeah. And you played quarterback in high school. What position did you want to play in college? Because we also saw you play backup quarterback role in a bowl game, if I'm not mistaken. I remember watching
Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, Sugar Bowl. Just Sugar Bowl.
I went to Florida State to play quarterback. But when I got there, man, they wanted me to sit 2 years behind Winkie. But originally, me being recruited to Florida State, Chris Winkie was actually hurt. He had just had surgery on his neck. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him, man, he couldn't throw a tennis ball 5 yards. So I'm thinking, you know, this dude ain't gonna be able to play. You know what I'm saying? But I ended up signing to Florida State. And when I get there, shoot, he looked good, to be honest with you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted me to sit behind Chris Winkie, who was a junior at the time.
Yeah.
And for me, I had never sat behind anybody. So I'm like, man, I need to get on the field. So I went to Coach Bowen and I'm like, hey, Coach, man, I'm watching practice more than I'm participating. So I got to switch positions. So he asked me, he was like, well, what position you want to play? I said, man, I go to safety. I played safety in high school. So I'm like, I go over to safety. Mm-hmm. So he was like, nah. He was like, if you're going to switch positions, we got to see you with the ball in your hand. So if you're going to switch, you can either go to receiver or running back. I'm like, man, I ain't going to running back. So I go to receiver. So, I mean, you know, the rest is history.
Yo, that's funny because, you know, instinctive coaches, they see things when other people don't see things. You know what I mean? And your first initial position change, you wanted to play safety, but he said, no, we got to keep that football in your hand. You know what I mean? And that's ironic how things kind of work out. The unexpected, because you played safety in high school, so you were comfortable backpedaling, you know, covering people and tackling.
Yeah, but Mickey went cool with it, though.
When
Mickey found out that I switched positions and Coach Bowen wouldn't let me go to safety, he was hot.
Oh, because he wanted you in the secondary. that sound like him.
Yeah, Mickey was hot, bro.
that definitely sounds like him. So, you know, being one of the top players in the country, you go to Florida State, you make the position change to wide receiver. When you get to Tallahassee, there was a guy who was already a made man in Peter Warwick, you know, torching every defense he played against. What was the most impressive thing you saw him do? And what did you learn from him, especially making that transition to wide receiver?
Yeah, I think at that time, man, this may sound crazy, but honestly, man, at Florida State, we didn't have a receiver coach, bro. We just played off pure
talent. Keep it real. Yeah, keep it real.
We played off pure talent. I didn't learn receiver until I got to the NFL.
Hey, break it down for our listeners and our viewers, Quan, some of the other guys that were in that receiver room your freshman year when y'all won that championship.
Bro, we was deep. I'm talking about it was Pete, Ron Dugans, Lavernius Cole, Snoop Menace, Rob J,
Talmon
Gardner, Greg Moore. And I was like the odd man out because all of these dudes had played receiver their entire life, you know what I'm saying, or had been playing receiver for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in there and I'm just coming from quarterback, never ran a route a day of my life,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm fresh off the block. I remember when I first went to receive, I wouldn't even touch gloves because I was a quarterback and I was touching the ball with my hands till I put on gloves and that joint felt funny. I'm going out to practice the first day and I have on gloves and I can't even feel the ball. I just snatched the gloves off, bro. I'm out there naked.
Bare hands. Old school.
Bare hands, bro. But yeah, I mean, I learned from them dudes, really. I mean, no disrespect. Jeff Bowers, our coach, but man, he just was in the receiver room, really. But I learned from them dudes, really, you know, running routes. We really didn't just – you was more athletic than everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know how to stop quicker than everybody else. I mean, really, our game was built off of getting yards after the catch. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, like I said, I didn't really learn the nuances of playing receiver until I got to the NFL.
Yeah. And you definitely was a yak king. It's been almost 18 years since your rookie debut and you set the league on fire in your first game, tying the NFL record with 217 receiving yards. How did you go from a second round pick to rookie of the year? How was that that transformation coming from college to the league?
Yeah, it was actually easier than I expected. And the reason I say that is because like at Florida State at that time, man, we had a team where, okay, I played at Florida State 3 years. Mm-hmm. I played on two national championship teams. And then my last year we played in the Sugar Bowl. But B-Mac can attest to this. When we used to practice during the week, actually offense and defense never got along.
Mm-mm.
Like we were not a team until Saturday.
Right question.
Bro, we had Mark Rick as our offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And then you got Mickey Andrews.
And they don't like each other also. And
Mickey Andrews and Chuck Amato on the defensive side of the ball. So when we go into practice, only thing Coach Rick telling us if we don't kick the defense butt today, we run it. And you ain't want to run at that time. Like, this was a time where we were still doing mat drills. We got stadiums. Right. We doing all that crazy. We were doing mat drills before a Monday practice.
Yeah, agilities, yeah.
Yeah, bro. Like, that's how bad it was. Like, we would do agilities before practice and then go do 34 periods in practice. So, like, it was it was crazy. Yeah. So, and after the 34 periods, if we didn't win that day,
we still got to run gasses.
We got to run gasses.
Yeah, run gasses.
So I'm talking about we didn't like the defense. The defense didn't like us. So every day during the week was a battle. I'm talking about we fighting during the season. I'm talking about it looked like training camp, bro. So, and that's the kind of that's how we played. And then Saturday Saturday we came together. That was the only day we was a team on Saturday.
No question.
But Saturdays was so easy because we competed the entire week leading up to Saturday. Like, Saturday was like a day off for us. Like, okay, we get to go out, play somebody else.
Hey, especially if we playing somebody like Wake Forest or, you know what I mean? We ain't even taping up for that game.
Yeah, so, you know, when I got to the NFL, it was different. Guys weren't competing like that. It was dudes brother-lawing each other. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so for me, it was like, man, this the league? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and I still had the same mindset coming from Florida State. Like, back then, we were doing two-a-days. We hit both practices, morning and evening. So, like, you just had that dog mentality. Like, man, hey, we got to get it. So, when I got to the league, they actually had to tell me to back off. Like, hey, man, like, calm it down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't get hurt out here. You know what I'm saying? But – you know, that was my mindset. So you know, once we got to the game, man, it was actually easier than when I was at Florida State.
Yeah. And it's actually, I think, 9 wide receivers have won Offensive Rookie of the Year and 3 since 2000. If I think that's the number 3 since 2000. Okay. Also, and we had Justin Jefferson on the show. He'd been on the show with us twice. He actually broke your record this past season. So watching him and seeing how he was dominating, were you cheering for him, QB, to break the record, or you still wanted to keep that record to yourself?
Nah, I mean, I was cheering for him. You know what I'm saying? I like to see the young boys come up, you know what I'm saying, do their thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how the game should be. You know what I'm saying? Like, records should be broken because the dudes who come before you actually give you something to shoot for.
Yeah, it's a true statement.
Like, if you got a dude who threw for 4,500 yards this year, 30 touchdowns, five interceptions, like, that set the mark for the next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, he threw for 4,500. I'm finna throw for 5,000. Or he got 7 picks. I'm finna go get 10. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think it should always be that way, because you give the people that come behind you something to shoot for.
Yeah. Oh, no, talking about the success you had your rookie year in Arizona, clearly you were the guy. You showed them that you can be not just a player, but the player. What was your initial reaction when the team drafted Larry Fitz, number 3 overall, and then went and got Bryant Johnson in the first round of 2003?
Well, BJ
was in your draft.
He was in
your draft. Yeah.
So the following year
they got Larry Fitz.
Right. The year I got drafted, Arizona actually had two first round picks. Mm-hmm. They had the 17th and the 18th pick. So they picked Bryant Johnson out of Penn State with the 17th pick, and they picked Calvin Pace out of Wake Forest.
The linebacker.
Yeah, he played DN. They picked him with the 18th pick, and then they picked me in the second round, 54th pick. And for me, man, it was, you know, our rookie year was crazy, bro. Like, I was telling somebody this the other day. When I got to the NFL, I was so naive, like, because I had just came from Florida State, and I'm used to playing in big games. I'm used to playing in championship games. You know what I'm saying? So when I get to the Cardinals, I didn't realize how bad our roster was. Like, I'm talking about, bro, when I look back over our roster right now, bro, like, it was horrible. So I was telling somebody the other day, number one, I had never seen Arizona play on TV before I got drafted there.
Dang.
Like, legit, I had never seen them play on TV. Mm-hmm. That's how bad the franchise was.
Uh-huh.
And then when I get there, I didn't know nobody on the roster except for the free agent acquisitions they had just made. So my rookie year coming in, they went out in free agency and they got Emmitt Smith. So I knew Emmitt, but Emmitt was on the last leg of his career. He was older.
Yeah.
They picked up Jeff Blake in free agency.
Yep.
Jeff was older. And then who else? And then I knew Dexter Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had just came over from Tampa. He won, they had just won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And he Florida State. So
yeah, Florida State. You know what I'm saying? So those were the only three people I knew on the roster, bro. Like, no lie. And I'll tell you, I told somebody this the other day. When I named my receiver core my rookie year, I guarantee you won't know nobody on there.
Man, I'm trying to, I consider myself a historian. So I remember Bryant Johnson from Penn State. He was the first rounder. Yeah,
right,
you.
I'll give you that.
You. God damn it. Shit. I even remember Jeff Blake. I'm trying to think, who's another receiver? Shit.
Go ahead, bro.
I can't think of a tight end.
Go ahead, bro.
Was Big Leonard Williams was on that line, right? Was he on the line then?
Leonard Davis
from Texas. He was on the line, right?
I'm talking about skill position, bro.
Man, I can't even. Oh, I remember y'all had a corner. What was the little corner, the short corner 27? Macklin or?
He wasn't there then.
Oh, he wasn't there then. Dang.
At corner, we had D Starks.
I forgot he was out there.
But D Starks got hurt. D Starks actually never played a game.
Hmm. Oh, that's why I forget. That's why I didn't register.
Never played a game. Uh-huh. So on my receiver corps, bro, I had Brian Johnson, who was a rookie. He had just got drafted with me. I had Jason McAdley.
Oh, I wasn't going to get that.
Brian Gilmore.
Wasn't going to get that.
Kevin Casper.
Definitely wasn't going to get that.
And Nate Poole.
Yeah. Casper used to run, though. I remember him. He had some running. He can go, right? Was that the fast guy? He used to play for the Eagles?
No.
Oh, I'm talking about somebody else.
Got a little white dude out of, I forget what college he went to. But
I thought, okay.
Bro, that was my receiver core.
Mm. So you and BJ had all the pressure.
Bro, it was a game my rookie year. I promise you. We went in the game with five receivers. Matter of fact, this was the third game of the year. And mind you, my rookie year, we played at ASU Stadium.
Yeah.
We didn't have a stadium.
Yeah.
So it's 110 degrees.
But that Arizona heat different too.
Yo, listen, it's 110 degrees. We playing Green Bay, third game of the year. It's probably about 15,000 people in the stands, if that. So we playing Brett Favre. We go into the game with five receivers. Before halftime, three of them get hurt.
Oh, y'all got two. Y'all gonna play straight 21 personnel, regular personnel.
Personnel, okay.
We got the second half. It's me and Brian Johnson, two rookies out there gutting it.
Damn.
I'm talking about, there was some series where I'm looking to the sideline like, man, I hope we don't get this third down. So I get it.
Well, I ain't never heard that one before. But I don't want anyone to convert the third down.
I'm like, man, look, I hope we don't convert this third down because I need a breather, bro.
Right.
And we go, at the end of the game, we go 2 minutes to win it, bro.
Oh, man.
2 minutes.
That's crazy.
We had a tight end, Freddie Jones. He was our tight end at the time. Uh-huh. He was flexed out as the F. Hmm. So we going three wides, but it's only actually two receivers. And we got a tight end flexed out.
Yeah.
But we go 2 minutes to win it at the end. We score. Mm. Brett Favre come down. D-Jack pick him off to seal the game.
Wait a minute. So y'all won that ball game?
Bro, we won. So look, this the only game I went I ain't go eat. I ain't do nothing. I went straight home and got in the bed, bro.
And y'all was out there in that heat too?
Mind you, this a 1 o'clock game. So the game get over about 4:30.
Right.
I go home. Go to sleep, and I wake up the next morning. I wake up, I done lost 10 pounds, bro.
Oh, no question. Man, that Arizona heat different, man. Oh, my goodness. Well, you said it was the third week, right? So it's still early in the year.
Bro, it's early September.
Yeah.
It get hot out there. And speaking of your receiver core, the Cardinals end up drafting Larry Fitz. How did you guys avoid any conflict or letting egos get in the way by having two of the best receivers in the league on the same team?
I think for me, man, like, I welcome fits. Like I said, our roster was depleted when I got there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so any player who I felt like was going to help us win, I'm on board. Matter of fact, like, I started recruiting dudes. Like, you know, in the off season would come around, you know, we'll be at charity basketball games and stuff like that. I'm like, hey, man, what you think about AZ? You know what I'm saying? Like, come out here and rock with me, da-da-da-da, whatever. So, for me, it was all about winning. I wasn't cool with, you know what I'm saying, like, that losing thing. Like, that was for the birds. But anybody who's going to help me win, let's go.
Yeah. Do you think he's done? You think he retired? You think he'll come back mid-season?
Fitz?
Yeah.
That's hard, man. I think it's 50-50 right now. I think for Fitz, me knowing Fitz and me talking to him, like, one thing I think if he walks away now, he'll regret not winning a championship.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing, you know what I'm saying, that he feels like is missing off of his resume.
Right.
But then again, like, in the situation that he's in, I mean, he's been on one team for his entire career, been on one organization. And when you do that and you're talking about 17, 18 years?
Yeah.
It's difficult to go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially, it's difficult just to make that move at the beginning of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But to make that move during the year where you got to learn a new city, you got to learn players, you got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a huge transition in itself. So I would say it's a 50-50 chance, man.
Yeah. Hey, can you share with us some of the bets you and Fitz used to make in the locker room? I think against the defense or something like that. You know, but the stats you guys would get.
Yeah. We used to have these deals going around in the locker room all the time. So, you know, offense and defense, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be in the meeting room and we'll be like, hey, if you get a pick six, I got 500 on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or if you get a sack fumble, you know what I'm saying? I got 300 on that. And depending on who you're playing against, you know what I'm saying, that week, especially if it's like a divisional game, like the
big
prices
game.
Go up, right?
Yeah.
So there was a point in time for us, like, nobody didn't want to put money on our books because we'll be like, okay, if a receiver get 100 yards, they was like, man, y'all get 100 yards every game. Like, we ain't finna give away money, you know what I'm saying? But we used to have, you know, deals like that. So we had to bump it up to like 120, you know what I'm saying, in a tug or whatever it is. But yeah, it was a point in time, man, where I think like 2005, we both had 100 catches, 1,400 yards. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was crazy.
Yeah.
What was your biggest collection then on one of those bets?
Man, I think we played Seattle. It was a divisional game. We played Seattle in Seattle, and I went off for like a 180 something. Yeah, got like, I don't know, it was probably like close to 10 grand or whatever.
Ooh. Yeah. He said that price go up for a divisional game.
Prices go up.
Hey, ooh. What year was that? You remember what year that was?
I forget that what year that was.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what year it was.
Okay. And you're talking about Larry Fitzgerald and his outstanding career in that championship. You were able to win a championship with the Ravens. But do you still think about the Super Bowl loss to the Steelers?
Yeah, definitely.
What haunts you the most about that loss? Or what you think about the most?
I mean, just the fact of, I felt like we should have won it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's two plays. There's the play right before the half.
Mm-hmm.
Interception, right? With what's his name? The DM?
James Harrison.
There's that play, which is a 14-point swing.
No question.
And then the play at the end with Santonio. I think those are the two plays that stand out.
No question. They're the two plays that stand out for us, too.
Yeah, those are big plays.
Yeah, because
y'all scored that touchdown before halftime. Y'all getting the ball back.
I mean, right. Both of those plays were history. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big time history plays. But you had another shot at it in 2011, end up losing to the Patriots in an AFC championship game. Uh-huh. But you guys end up beating them in 2012 title game. How intense was that rivalry with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick during that time?
Man, that was a heated rivalry. And I honestly feel like the Patriots didn't respect nobody at that time except for the Ravens. Like, they knew every time they played the Ravens, like, it was going to be a dogfight. So and for me, I had never played against the Patriots until I got to Baltimore. Uh-huh. So my first year we played, a year before I got there, I think Baltimore actually played them in the playoffs. And that's when Ray Rice went crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the first play of the game, he broke it for like 75, something like that. So the Ravens ended up running it. So my first year I got there, we played at Foxborough. Mm-hmm. They beat us. And then my second year, we played them in the AFC Championship. And, bro, we should have went to two Super Bowls back-to-back when I was in Baltimore. We had – I know y'all will remember when I talk about it. Lee Evans.
Dropped that touchdown. He dropped that touchdown.
Yeah. Bro.
Yeah, but he dropped that touchdown.
I'm talking about in the end zone.
In the zone.
Bro, like, I think he just relaxed and thought he had it, bro. And just so
he had it, and they just let it go. I don't know what happened.
So he had it. But then after that, we came down. We drove down to tie the game up. Billy Cundiff. We had the little chip shot.
Mm-hmm.
Shanked the chip shot with, like, seconds left on the clock. So we lost that one. And then we come back the next year. We actually played them in the regular season at Baltimore. We beat them. And then we play them in the AFC Championship game. And we said to ourselves, it ain't nowhere in the world they going to win this one. Like, we already knew what time it was.
Talk about your experiences in playing in two different conferences. Like, you was in the NFC the majority of your career, and then you get traded to Baltimore. Was there a difference in play or the style of play compared NFC compared to the AFC?
Yeah, I think there's a difference in the style of play, especially playing in the AFC North. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the AFC North, man, it's a rough league. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, even Cleveland.
Like, mm-hmm.
Bro, I hated playing Cleveland. Like, especially at Cleveland, because for some reason they always put us on going to Cleveland, like, in December.
Oh, man, when it's ugly cold, too. Man, that's a different goal.
We go to Cleveland, and you don't know what you're going to get.
Like, mm-hmm.
it can be sleeting, it can be raining, it can be snowing, it can be all three.
And the fans disrespectful?
You just know it's going to be cold. So one year we go to Cleveland. I kid you not, bro. We threw the ball five times. Five times, bro. Ray Rice had over 200, and Ricky Williams had like 150. Oh,
forgot y'all had Ricky.
Bro, I'm talking. We threw the ball because the wind was blowing so hard.
Yeah.
You couldn't throw the ball going one end.
Right.
Like, we tried to throw a hitch route. And you know Joe Flacco got a strong arm.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the ball dropped right in front of me. Like,
it died on you.
Bro, we ain't throwing no more. So those leagues are different. The NFC West, it's a tough league. And, like, in the NFC West, especially, man, when you have Seattle, San Fran, you got the Rams and the Cardinals banging at one time. Like, when I was in the league, I think all four of those teams made it to the Super Bowl, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, like, that's how good that league is. Like, you're going to have one of those teams playing for the Super Bowl at some point in your career.
Yeah.
So it's different, but both of those leagues are tough, man. Like, the AFC North is a black and blue league. You know what I'm saying? Run the ball, hard nose, big hits, da-da-da-da, whatever. But the NFC West, man, I'm talking about all four teams in one year can be, like, this year. It's going to be a tough year, you know what I'm saying, for whoever comes out of there, because you pretty much going to beat each other up.
Yeah, 100%.
No question. Well, hey, Quan, we're talking about 2012 playoffs. What clicked with you in the connection of with Joe Flacco, especially in that playoff run. Your stats in 2012 in the playoffs, 22 receptions, 380, four touchdowns. Joe Flacco, 12 in the playoffs, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions, and four of them he threw to you. But what clicked between you and the quarterback, Joe Flacco, in that playoff run?
Jim Caldwell. Hmm. So, like, Jim Caldwell didn't start the season as our OC. We had Cam Cameron.
And y'all got – he got fired, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he ended up getting fired, like the latter part of the season. Yeah. So, I think it was close to, like, week 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
He ended up getting
like
fired.
5 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. And then if you look at – if you look at the offense from that point on, completely different offense. You know what I'm saying? So, like – most people be like, what happened? Jim Caldwell, bro. Like, Jim, and he was the type dude. He would come. I remember we were playing the Colts in the first round. So he came to me. This was like a couple weeks prior to. And he told me, he said, if you don't have a catch in the first quarter, I want you to get on the phone and let me know. Right? So I'm like, man, you know, that ain't even my style or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the time goes on, and we in the first round, we playing the Colts. And we come in after halftime. I think we up or the game is close or whatever. And he comes to my locker. He said, how many catches do you have? And I was like, none. He was like, didn't I tell you if you didn't have a catch to jump on the phone? So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Coach, man, that ain't me. Like, we winning, so I'm straight. He was like, all right, I'll fix that. Bro, I'm talking about the second half, I had like 150. Like, but that's the kind of – because he was like, look, if we're going to win it, we need you to make plays, because it's not so much of the – you know what I'm saying? Like, the playmaking ability is more so like when you make plays, you get everybody else involved. Like, the defense plays harder. The running back's going to run the ball harder. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we need you to make a play. So, when they see you, everybody else go harder. So that's the kind of coach that he was, you know what I'm saying? So you will see, like, throughout the playoffs, like, he will always say, I'm going to get you the ball and I'm going to get it to you early, because if I get the ball in your hands early, it's going to change everybody else, offense and defense.
Yeah. And moving on to the second round. Oh, I think that was the AFC Championship. What was going through your head when Joe Flacco heaves it up down to Jones, he catches it, go to the end zone?
Oh, man.
What round that was.
But that was second round.
That was the second round. What was going through your head when you saw the ball in the air heading in Jones' direction?
Man, first of all, it was cold as crap, bro. Like, it was minus 20.
Ooh. In Denver.
So
minus 20?
Minus 20, bro.
I didn't know it was that cold.
Minus 20. I'm talking about, it was so cold. You remember Marshall Yonder, our offensive lineman?
Yeah.
I remember,
he was a dog too.
Yeah. We were in a huddle. It was like in a timeout. It was so bad, bro. Like, you know, when you had a commercial break and you be in the huddle on the field, we had dudes running to the sideline to get a jacket.
to get a jacket?
Bro, it was cold, fam. I'm talking about. So Marshall Yonder, he's drinking water.
Uh-huh.
You know how the offensive lineman squirt the water? And he had the beard. His beard was frozen.
Dang.
I'm talking about from the time he did this and gave it back to the trainer.
It's frozen.
His beard was frozen.
Like, yeah.
That's how cold it was. But, you know, we going on in that game, and that game actually went into overtime. So after after Jacoby caught that touchdown, we go into overtime. And I remember the Denver players was like, hey, man, y'all need to make a play, because, you know what I'm saying, we trying to get up out of here, bro. It's cold.
No.
They were like, look. They said either y'all make a play or we make a play, but bro, we need to end this game because it's cold out here.
I mean, at that point, you all in now, so we just got to try to finish the drill.
Bro, it was cold.
Wow. Yeah, man,
seeing that pass, man, like, it looked like time just stopped.
No question. It looked like that on TV, too.
Bro, it like time just stopped, and then we see the safety.
Moore.
Wow. I see him, and I'm like,
Raheem Moore.
Yeah, Raheem Moore. I'm like, this dude took a bad angle.
Oh, man. That's no question. Jacoby, he was flat-footed.
Bro, Jacoby is sitting back there like a punt. Mm-hmm. Like, because he caught it in the bread basket. And you see old boy like this.
Yeah.
Like, bro, he finna catch this ball and score.
Man, that was the unthinkable. I didn't think y'all had a shot. I definitely didn't think y'all had a shot, man. That's a big time play that doesn't get talked about. It don't get talked about enough.
But yeah, for us though, like that whole season was like that. Cause we had a situation in San Diego. If we don't beat the Chargers, we don't even make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing the Chargers. They actually up. And it's the fourth quarter. And bro, it's fourth and 20 something. So we call four verts. Everybody know, you know what I'm saying? Fourth and 20 something, we call four verts.
Oh, I remember that play.
Bro.
I remember that. Dump it off the Ray Rice.
Bro, listen. I'm running up the seam because I know he got to throw it deep. He's right. 21. I turn around and look at Joe to see where he's throwing the ball.
I remember that.
This man threw a dump off. Bro, listen. This man threw a check down.
Oh, fourth and 20 something.
A fourth and 20 something. If, mind you, if we don't get this fourth down, we don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This man threw a swing route to the right. I'm on the left to the slot. And when he throws the ball, I put my hand on my hips like this. Like, bro.
Ray Rice did the rest, though.
Like, bro, are you serious? Yeah. So Ray Rice catches the ball from the right. He cuts all the way back cross field.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy.
So now I'm seeing him run. I'm like, oh, snap. He got a shot.
Yeah.
He comes and Eric Weddle, he come and I see him at the corner of my eye. He the last person Ray got to beat. I just got a beam on him. When I hit him, bruh, I felt everything from his body leave. I'm talking, bruh, he was asleep before he hit the ground.
Hey, one thing people don't realize with Quan, boy, you better keep your head on the swivel.
No doubt about it.
Hey, the boys tell me, oh, no question. The boys are like, hey, man, Mac, what's wrong with your Florida State boy? Like, what y'all talking about? I said, man, he out here hitting everything. I'm like, y'all, boy, better keep your eyes alert. They ain't a regular wide receiver. He looking for action. I remember, man, we got to get – I hope Eric can get that clip and add this because when you hit him, yeah, he was asleep. He was snoring. He was snoring on the way down.
Bro, I just felt everything leave his body. And when I hit him, he hit somebody else.
Mm.
And, like, Ray, like, he just did get, like, the yardage he needed, bro. And, like,
yeah.
We went on and scored and won that game. But that's how we got in the playoffs, bro.
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is. To win a championship, it's not always the best team. You got to be lucky as well. You got to have some things bounce in your favor. Had quite a few bounces. Last question for you before we transition to the superlative part of the show. What are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame? You will be eligible next year for the very first time. Is it something that you think about when it comes to, you know, validation of your outstanding career?
Nah, not really. To be honest with you, only time I ever think about it if somebody say something about it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not one of them dudes who sit around, like, you know what I'm saying, trying to advocate to get in or whatever. Like, you just play, bro, and you know what I'm saying, you let your work speak for itself. If you get voted in, great. If not, you know what I'm saying, I felt like I had a great time playing football, you know what I'm saying, 14 years. For me, it was all about winning the championship and securing my family for the rest of their life. So for me, you know what I'm saying, I accomplished everything that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, when you talk about playing in the NFL.
Gotcha. Do you think you will get in?
We'll see. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
if you're talking about numbers, I mean.
I got your numbers right here. I got your numbers right here. Eric gonna keep us with the stats. Number 9 all time in receptions, over 1,000. I know you know 1,076 to be exact. Number 12 all time in playoff receptions, 70. 14 all time in receiving yards, over 13,000. 13 number all time in playoff yards, over 1,000. 82 career touchdowns. That's 25th. Oh, you number 14th in NFL history in playoff touchdowns with 8. So. I mean, you probably know the numbers anyway. I just want to read them out to you. Hey, but I tell you this, we're going to see. But I definitely hope you get in there because, heck, you know how me and Pat done had this conversation with quite a few guys who still been waiting. That process is a bit, it's a bit iffy. I think they should allow people who played in the era with that said player to be able to be in the room and you mention this name, this guy's name, and the guys he played against and played with, is he a Hall of Famer? Raise your hand. Like when you people who have the deciding factor, they never played against an Anquan Boldin, never played against a Patrick Peterson, never played against a Fred Taylor. They don't know what kind of dogs was out there. Like,
I agree. I think, you know what I'm saying?
It's a bit flawed.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, there's dudes that should be in that aren't in.
Mm-hmm.
There's dudes that shouldn't be in there. That,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Got in there. So like you said, I think if you ask the people who they played against, those are the ones who tell you, like, hey, bro, like,
yeah,
dude was a dog. Like, he was a beast, you know what I'm saying, on the field. So, like, I think anytime you have something like that, and I know, you know, they have their writers or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, people can hold personal vendettas. Like, you look at somebody like T.O.
Uh-huh.
And, come on, bro. Like,
yeah.
How you make T.O. wait that long? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no question. No question.
And you ask anybody that he played against.
Yeah, you already know what the answer would be.
No oh, for real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, everywhere he went, you know what I'm saying, he balled out. So, like, yeah, I think it's a little skewed. That's why, for me, you know what I'm saying, I don't put that much emphasis on it. If it's done, then great. If not, you know what I'm saying, I'm still going to live like that.
No doubt. Well, we definitely hope you should get in there. You definitely have the stats to back it up. So, only time will tell. Now we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. Granted, you handle bump and run easy in your career, so we're going to try to put some pressure on you. We want your honest, unbiased answer for this first question. Top five wide receivers of your era.
I played in a couple of different eras.
Give me your top five.
That's tough, bro.
You played in the era where it was some go-getters too.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just name some dudes.
Okay, that's cool. That's
you
cool.
Got my running mate Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
You got T.O.
Mm-hmm.
You got Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce.
Mm.
Who, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, bro, them boys were some dogs. Like, when I first got in the league, like, I used to watch film on these dudes. Like,
yeah,
them boys was
from.
It was that boy. I'm talking about them 20-yard digs.
Oh, my God. We're going to do a team.
Bro, I'm talking about they was – you had Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, you know what I'm saying, in Indy. Them boys was tearing it up. Shoot, I played in the era with, like, Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith.
I caught Jimmy my rookie year. I still have bad nightmares from that.
I played in the era with, like, Steve Smith. I played in the era. It was some dogs, bro. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you know what would have been crazy, speaking of Steve Smith? Because you didn't play with Steve Smith in Baltimore, right?
Nah, we missed each other.
And if you two was on the same team.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have even been fair. That wouldn't have even been fair. Two dudes got kind of the same attitude and mentality. No. It had been fights out there. You had to fight.
Every week.
You already know. You're the second day. You're like, man, we're going to have to fight. For real.
Yeah. I got a second question for you. Best corner matchup rivalry in your career?
Best cornerback?
Yep. Rivalry in your career, the one you saw,
you in the corner,
you consider a rivalry.
Man, I don't know if I actually had like a rivalry with anybody. I played against some good corners, man. I played against like Champ Bailey.
You played against some dogs too.
Played against like Aeneas Williams.
Ooh,
played against, you know, Woodson,
Charles.
Yeah, like. I played against some good corners, man.
That you have.
No question. I got another tough one for you. Man, you played with some outstanding quarterbacks. Give me your top three.
Top three quarterbacks?
That you played with, that threw you passes. Or just pure talent alone. Like, you know, I don't care how long you played with them, the top three quarterbacks you played with.
Top three, I would say Kurt Warner, Flacco, and Matt
Stafford.
Matt got a cannon.
Yeah.
Matt gonna show a lot of people how good he is this year, bro.
I remember you told me, heck, he already jumped out the gate week one.
Dudes be sleep, but he's with somebody. He's in a situation where he has He has the weapons. He has
coaching,
a defense.
Yeah.
And he has an offensive-minded coach. Bro, he going to light the league up. I'm telling you, bro.
I've been saying that too. I think me and Matt talked about this as well. Like, obviously he get a lot of, heat off, being in Detroit, not making a playoff, this, that, another. But I said, he around some real dudes now and some real some coaches that's going to be able to put him in position to be successful. Because we all know he got a cannon, obviously throwing for, 4,500 every year that he's been in the league. But now he around some real dudes to really flourish his talent. So I agree with you. He's definitely going to light it up this year. My last question for you before we let you go. We all know we lost a great one in the college football world. Give us your favorite Bobby Bowden story.
Man, there's a bunch of those. Probably the best one, man, when we was playing in the Sugar Bowl. When he pulled me, he told me
to go to the quarterback.
Yeah, so we start out this game. First of all, we had AD got suspended.
Yep.
We had Chris Ricks couldn't play because
he wasn't eligible.
Yeah, he something with final or something. So he couldn't play. So going in the week, we had Fabian Walker going in as the starting quarterback. Mind you, Fabian hadn't played. Did he play that year?
Nah, not really. Nah, he
didn't. Yeah, he didn't really play that year, but Fabian actually came in with me.
He was like a top quarterback too.
Yeah, out of America's Georgia.
Yep.
But he wasn't eligible when we signed. So I think he did like a year or something, like at a JUCO or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came in the following year. I think he came in with y'all. So Chris Ricks, AD, and then Fabian. Mind you, I haven't played quarterback and I don't know how long, bro. Like, so
yeah, you didn't even practice at quarterback that week.
Nah, I didn't practice. So like,
yeah.
We in the game and we go down and I scored the first touchdown on like a slanting out. So I catch the touchdown, everything going good or whatever. And then I think Fabian throw two interceptions back to back. Bomb, bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the sideline, everybody like, all right. Coach Brown said, Q, you got to go in there. I'm like, go in where? He said, we need you. He said, Fabian is throwing to the other team too much. He said, and I told him, if you see Anquan, if you see one of their players open, just throw it in the direction of Anquan and he'll go get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look like that's not working, so you got to go to quarterback. I'm like, quarterback? But I ain't played quarterback and I don't know how. So he's looking at me like, hey, you all we got, so just make it.
So what did they simplify the offense for you when you went in?
Bro, they got me out there making checks. They got me out there calling out the mic. I got to call the fronts and everything, bro.
Hey, that high school quarterback skill set came in handy at some point.
No question. No question. Out there playing quarterback with a wide receiver face mask.
Right.
And back, back then we was playing in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Straight AstroTurf.
Oh, that real turf. It wasn't no field turf. Yeah. We had on sneakers out there.
Bruh.
Yeah. We had those sneakers out there. Man, that Georgia game was fun, though. But you're right, man. We was behind the eight ball, all them turnovers, them picks.
Can't wait for that.
No doubt. Well, AQ, man, we appreciate you joining us here. All things covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, man. Definitely a fun conversation with the future Hall of Famer. Let's go ahead and throw that out in the universe right now. Let that manifest. Yeah, get that train rolling because you will be eligible next year for the very first time. So let's see exactly what the Hall of Fame committee do. But no question, you have the numbers and you definitely have the hot tape to back that honor. And hopefully it works in your favor. But man, appreciate you joining us here. All things covered, man. I can't forget. It's not just about who you've been on the football field, but you've been doing some great things in the community as well, especially down there in your hometown. You want to give us a little insight about some of the things you've been doing?
Yeah, man. I've had my foundation since, I think, 2004. We work with underprivileged kids, Q81 Foundation. And then we have the Anquan and Deion Bolden Scholarship Foundation. We actually do scholarships for graduating seniors each year, $10,000 scholarships each year for graduating seniors. And then, of course, helped co-found the Players Coalition, which is tackling social justice issues around the country. So, yeah, man, keeping me busy, bro.
No doubt. No doubt, man. Big time things. And also, too, you were helping people in your community get vaccinated as well.
Oh, yeah, man. That's important, bro.
Yeah.
Especially here in Florida, man. Our ICUs are filled, you know, with people dealing with COVID. I know, man, I turned on the TV opening week, man, college football, and I'm seeing like 100,000 people in the stand.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, bro, we act like COVID ain't even
No doubt.
But, you know, that's part of it, man. But, you know, just make sure you staying safe, man. Make sure you're taking care of yourself because, man, it's actually real, man. I went on vacation this summer. And while I'm on vacation, man, four people in my community passed away from COVID.
Wow.
No, that's real. It's definitely real.
But, yeah. Well, man, shouts out to everything that you've been doing in the community. Difference making, not just on the football field, but off the football field as well. And, man, appreciate you. Yes, join sir. Us here, All Things Covered.
Sure, man. Appreciate y'all boys having me, man.
And yes, sir.
Good luck this week, B.
I appreciate it, baby.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.